privilege of sharing with you our children's ministry. Each Sunday, as you can see, we call the children, they run to that door, they go outside, and there's a portable out there filled with loving people and great things to do out there. We have a small group of children out there. At the most, I think we get 8 kids at this point. It's a small group, but a very precious group of children. These children, while they're out there, get fed some food, they play some games, they make something with their hands, and they hear a story from the Bible. The book the children are working with, the teachers are working with, is called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And I love this little book. I took it home actually last night because I actually haven't used it yet, and I'm going to be in the next little while. And it's a great book. And of course, it's in child form, which I actually like reading it better because it's not really deep theologically. It just is a great level that I like to understand God's great love for us without making it too difficult on His great love. But in the story of Noah and Moses and King David, we know that's from the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is leading into the New Testament. At the end of every story, they draw in Jesus. So they say, when they talk about King David, why he went through what he went through, because Jesus was coming. And then they'll tell a little story. Or why Noah went through what he went through and what was coming, and it was Jesus. And so they tie in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's a great little learning tool. But I think one of our most valued beliefs out there is that at the end of the day, that each child would know that they are loved, that they feel the church is a safe place. Our children will grow up one day, they will move away, and our adult children may or may not go to church. And when they're out there, and we all know, tough times come. Tough times come for all of us. And we want them to walk away knowing that church is a safe place for me to go. We want them to be able to say, I felt loved by the people in the church. The cross is a place I can take my fears and my struggles. The Bible is a book full of wisdom, and I can find this book anywhere. Everything we do with the children, we pray, will reinforce these truths in each child. Future dreams, more kids, more space, more teachers, but we're enjoying our kids out there. Bobby.
I don't like being behind stuff. So I get to talk about two things today. The first one's community group. The second thing is youth. So community groups, for those that don't know, are in the week at some point. We meet together, we hang out, we talk, different groups will study different things, and then we'll also pray together. A big foundational part of our community groups is relationships. Now, I was talking with Barry a little while ago, a week or two ago, about pastoral ministry. Now, what that means is kind of caring for people that need help and that are just going through tough times or going through issues or they're battling stuff and that kind of thing. And we were talking about reviewing our church and how well we're doing as a church at that. And I said, or we talked about, that community groups are a great way for pastoral ministry. Because in relationships, those are the way that we get through tough times. Relationships are the ways that people can help us along to learn things. And relationships also can hopefully help us stop from doing dumb things down the line, or stop when we're starting to do a dumb thing before it becomes a big problem. It can do that. So community groups are a great way to build those relationships. So if you're not in one of those kinds of groups, I would highly recommend doing it. So we have a couple groups going on right now, and they're just growing closer and closer together, both with each other and with God. So another part of these community groups that we're really pushing on doing is serving. Because our relationship with God and our relationship with ourselves and with others is really confined to a certain limit if you don't get out of your comfort zone, if you don't go and help out other people. So the different groups are talking about doing different things. The group that I'm in and leading, we are just making food for the grassroots hearts, kind hearts, that ministry that gives food every night to people. And we just make food for that about once a month, and then we serve it to people. And we're really hoping to grow that and show God's love just by creating a meal together. And it also is a great way to bond with each other as well, because you're getting out of your normal whatever, sitting in a circle and talking about. Sometimes you can just get in our comfort zone and you only know people a certain amount when you stay in a certain situation. So it's just getting out, showing God's love, serving other people, and growing in relationship. And it's just really been a really blessing to me over the past couple years being in these community groups. And I hopefully it's been a blessing to the community and I think to other people as well, as we also just study God's word in these as well. So if you're not in a community group, I'd highly recommend you getting in one. You can talk to me about joining one. There's some on one Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday afternoon are the dates each week. The other thing that I lead, and I'm actually the youth pastor here, so that's the youth. Now, again, I believe relationships are so key at every stage of our life, but it's also really key in our youth. As youth are forming thank you. Forming friendships that'll last throughout their time in high school and maybe for their lives, and then these relationships will affect a lot on what they do. So we want to create good relationships and also teach them how to have good relationships. Not only are we having our series right now is Relationships That Give You Life, which cover relationships from our relationship with God, our relationship with ourself, our relationship with others, whether it's friends, strangers, boyfriend, girlfriend, family, all those kinds of things. We really want to build and instill this the right way to have godly relationships, because that can affect so much of our lives. But also in our youth, we also do things to form these relationships. We do them with our youth leaders, who I have an awesome bunch of youth leaders. And we also do it with themselves, so that hopefully their peer group, they're creating relationships, so that they really have somebody that they can talk to when they're going through the tough times. Because sometimes people don't want to talk to their parents or the people that are in charge of them or their guardians and things like that. So we want to give just the kind of relationships that show that we care for them and we want what's best for them. So a big part of what we do in the youth is relationships. And we've really been seeing that over the past couple years of people coming and just feeling like almost like a family or really great hangout time. We started ending our youth at 8, but we left an extra half hour just to hang out. And basically all of them just chose to hang out for a half hour afterwards. They don't come and go because they have to, but they want to really spend some time with people that care for them, which is really what we want to do. And hopefully they can share that out to their schools and be lights to their schools and be a real authentic love to the people around them. So and that's the next thing we're doing. Again, serving is a big part of what we're pushing. We're starting to do a little bit more of that. We're hopefully doing a servant evangelism type weekend coming up. And each week I talk about going out, sharing Jesus with their school. So it's a real time where they get to build relationships with their friends, build relationship with God, and go out and learn how to serve and love other people. So yeah, that's what's happening in community groups and youth. Also, if you want to get involved with youth, we're looking for another leader or two, so it's a great way to get some energy, have some fun, and build relationships. So yeah, Mark, you're up next with worship.
Thanks for me. So I'm Mark. Some of you, most of you know me. Some of you that don't know me, I'm involved with the worship here. For the last year or so, I've been helping out with the worship teams and sort of a liaison between the worship teams and the leadership. So I got a couple things I just wanted to mention. We place a high value on worship here at the Vineyard. And I feel very blessed and honored to be a part of this church and to be involved with the worship. You know, when I first came here, I attended for a little while, and then got involved with the worship, and I don't know why I didn't do it sooner. So, we're blessed to have the leaders and the teams that we have. We actually have 5 worship leaders here, believe it or not, which is pretty cool for a congregation this size, eh? We got musicians and sound people, media people. It's just a really awesome team. I feel very privileged to work with the people that we work with. And I think in the last 12 months or so, since we last had our last meeting, I think we've made some good progress. There seems to be, at least from my perspective anyway, a greater sense of freedom and liberty in the worship. How many of you here sense that? Like, I just really feel like it's we're going somewhere together. And I want to keep going in that direction. You know, like, we've had new members joining. There's a few of them here today. And it's been really good. And I just think we're on the right track. But I know God always has more. And I think we should just keep going the course that we're going. You know, it's so much more than just being a band on a stage. And I know sometimes it can feel that way. You know, for us, we get on stage and, you know, do our songs and whatever. But when we're intentional about worshiping God, coming together, focusing on Him, you can always sense it when it happens, right? And that's kind of why I feel in the last year or so, you can sense it when we're going there together. And I think we're on the right track. Let's keep going. You know, as far as worship and the arts go, I sometimes think about more, lately anyway, I've been thinking about more than just worship. I think there's a lot of ways we can worship. I think that there's a lot of gifts and talents that are here that I would like to see come out more. You know, I think of, like, glorifying God through art, through photography, through painting, through flagging, through whatever, right? There's a lot of ways we can bring our expression of worship to God, and that's something I'd like to see happen in the next while, and I want to kind of leave that with you. If there's any ways that you want to get more involved, maybe there's a gift or something that you have that you want to contribute, please talk to me after the service, and I'd like to come up with some ideas. And I'm thinking with media too. I know, Tim, you emailed me on that. Like, I think there's so much we could do with video and with testimonials, like what Bobby was thinking of doing. Like, you know, we just shoot a little video of somebody sharing their story about how God touched them, you know. And I think it's part of how we do church today, and it's part of the culture and how we how we assimilate things, right? Is through media and stuff like that. So I'll just close up here, but my hope is that we get more involved together and that we enhance more ways and engage more ways of worshiping God together. And just talk to me afterwards if you have anything that you want to contribute in that way. Thanks. I don't know who's next here. Jane Herbin.
Well, I'm a little hesitant to give this overview because there's quite a few of you that are peering over the edge into our age bracket, and I'm scared that if you hear this report, it might lead you into the sin of jealousy. It's possible. Tomorrow, for example, we're having Brian Kieran coming to speak, and he actually has met Princess Di and has been involved as a journalist in the wars. But you have to be 55 to come. Anyway, here's the report. Many think that at 55 we begin to fall apart. Well, that may be true, but we are definitely young at heart. In fact, though we may be older, we sure aren't dead. You'd think we'd be slower, but we've gained momentum instead. In fact, our seniors group has been incredibly busy. Our pace, what we've learned, and future plans will send you into a tizzy. The topics we learned about and discuss cover a vast array. Barry addressed the role of seniors in our church today. We talked about aging, what's normal and what's not, learned about fitness and how to exercise from just one spot. Finding lost money, wills, and power of attorney, we covered that too, and heard about the legal rights of us seniors and what we can do. Some techie skills were learned and remote controls cars were raced. Better meals plans were presented and we all got to taste. Stan showed us his DVD and how we met the Queen. We also squeezed in some games with prizes in between. Bobby shared our youth group and we became prayer partners for our youth. We may be older, but as you can tell, we've sure got couth. We visited the Air Museum and had a beach party and kayaked on the lake. The men cooked us breakfast and even cleaned up for Pete's sake. Lee visits the seniors. Jerry and his team help seniors with repairs. There's a walking group with Dole, well, for anyone who dares. Community gardens and cooking meals together is part of our plan. We, young at hearters, look after each other as best as we can. We're becoming more like a family, and we're having lots of fun. We support one another with some of the hard things that need to be done. Our plan is to continue, have fun, socialize, and learn some more, asking our Abba to see what's in store. Many think that at 55 we begin to fall apart, but as you can tell, we are definitely young at heart. And now our marvelous maintenance man, who's also known as my sweet baboo, would like to have the microphone and talk to you too.
You can see what I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, eh? I have just a quick maintenance report here. In the last 2 years, we did quite a few things. This year coming up, there's a bunch of stuff we need to do as well. Some of it's wish list, depending on the finances, of course, but I'll just give you a few of the main things we're looking at. With the portable out there, we would like to do some painting on the interior, and we want to install a gas furnace out there. Tim Calvert has donated a really good gas furnace to us, and we think that would be a great way to go. There's a few other minor things that we would do out there, again, finance permitting. With the main building here, probably the four top things we'd really like to get done is, first of all, we would like to get the wheelchair ramp out there taken care of. It was put in there years ago, and it's obviously too small. And we'd like to widen it and create a longer slope on it so it's not so steep, get some handrails on that. So that's a priority. The ridge cap needs doing. The exterior of the building, it's due for a paint job again, so we want to get a crew together as the weather gets better and see if we can get out there and get that all painted. And these windows, they have a problem opening and closing. I looked at replacing the bottom part, but it's about $8,000, which we probably don't have. So this year I think what we'll do is take each window out, plane them down, reseal them, and weather strip them and make them so they at least function properly. Beyond that, it's just the regular smaller maintenance that we have. On May 7th, we're going to have our cleanup day at the church. On May, once a year in the spring, we get as many people out as we can, and we just go over the whole church cleaning and fixing the yard up, getting everything spruced up, kind of as a kickoff for the year. So keep your ears open for more on that. We'll have a list of maintenance things we want done at that time.
Food.
Oh, yes, we get lunch served there too. Nancy usually brings a big lunch, so that's always a draw.
If she's not cruising.
And so that's about it for the maintenance. But in closing, I do want to give a special thanks to Karen Melanson, who you come here every week and you'll find her here working herself half to death here cleaning up and doing... Well, every week I'm here, I see you here doing something. Okay. I don't know who all does it, but I do see Karen here all the time. And she either is doing small maintenance jobs or giving me small maintenance jobs. I want to thank Jerry LaRocque, who looks after all our gardens and lawns and just finished digging a ditch out back here to drain our parking lot. Al Sankey and Tim Calvert as well for helping out with a lot of maintenance things. So that concludes this, and Barry's next, okay.
There we go.
Well, it's good to see you all out, and I've enjoyed all of those presentations. I thought they did a great job, didn't you? So give them a round of applause. I'm going to sort of conclude a bunch of stuff on here, but I wanted to just start by, I think, again, reiterating a little bit of what we're trying to do. We're trying to do almost two things simultaneously this morning. We're finishing our series on Vineyard Values by talking about the value of community and mission. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But we're also in the midst of our Vision Sunday, which is connected to our annual general meeting. And in that, what we try to do, because a lot of people, by the time you had your service, and then you have lunch, and then you come back, and then you have this long meeting with all the reports, it can be just really strenuous day. And so we're trying to bring that into the service here and actually have a service where we talk about all the things we're trying to do to, in fact, accomplish the vision and the mission that God has called us to as a church. And so that's what we're trying to do, and there's a lot of activity you might have already noticed that's happening. One of the things I wanted to say, I think all of them are doing fantastic. Bobby, he continues to grow the youth group, and it's a blessing, and the kids are loving it. I agree with Mark, too, that I think as a congregation, we're moving forward in worshiping together. That it's not us sitting watching the band do their thing, that we are moving more and more. I hear more and more of your voices behind me, which is exactly what we want to hear. And so I think we are moving in the right direction in so many of those ways. And so that's what we're trying to do, is do these two things together. And our vision, as most of you know, is in fact very simple: to know and to make known the unsurpassable love of Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus. To know it. And so in one sense, the first thing we need to do is really know it for ourselves, to experience that love. And then out of that is this idea of giving it away, that we have to be connected to the idea of mission, that we are called to make known the love of Jesus. You can't just hold on to it for yourself. Last year, as leaders, we believed that God was asking us to emphasize that make known part of the mission. And I'll tell you that I think we tried to do that. How effective we are or were at that, I'll leave up to you. But we did do a number of things. One of the things we did is we were training people on how to share their faith. We did the story training. We did prayer ministry training as a group. And we had a number of events in which we can invite people to. One's coming up, for instance, this next Sunday. I want us to all remember that we're having our community meal, and it's a great place to invite new people and just to meet new people. There's so many people that come from the community, many of them that are hurting and broken and are open to the love of Jesus and the need for that. And what they need is people around them that will come and meet them and just talk to them, pray for them, and that's what we invite you to come and do. So we're doing that this coming week. But we did a lot of things to try and actually push that pedal. And I think that we've grown as a church in the concept of invitation. I know that Nancy and I are inviting more and more new people to come and be a part of our lives and to come and check out the church. And so it's sort of a twofold thing. The first thing is to invite them to be a part of your own life, and then invite them to church after you get to know them. So we are seeing that. And when I look around our church, I see a whole bunch of new faces. And I know, in fact, that many of you are being invitational and inviting new people to be a part of our church, which is a wonderful thing, and we need to continue to do that. We didn't make that invitational initiative a program, and we didn't do that on purpose. We wanted it to become a part of the culture of our community, which means that we're always, all of us, open to inviting new people into our hearts. And we're also unashamedly inviting them to encounter Jesus. And that's often the hard part, isn't it? But we have to adopt that, because it's Jesus who makes all the difference. You know, you could say amen if you want to. But even as we look around, and I believe there are lots of new faces in our community, one of the things I do notice is that we tend to stay roughly around the same size, and we're not getting a whole lot larger. And why is that? One of the things that John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, or at least the biggest leader in the Vineyard at the time, used to say, that the secret to a growing church is to have more people coming in the front door than are leaving out the back door. Pretty simple thing, right? And the key to making it grow is to close, or to at least shorten, if you want to call it that, the back door. In one sense, you want to make the front door as wide as you can. Do you understand what he means by that? So you have lots and lots of ways in which you're inviting new people to come in and be a part of you, and you're trying to do things that disciple your people in a way that the back door gets smaller. And when he was asked, well, what's the biggest secret for that? It's actually no secret at all. It was, in fact, Jesus' method of discipleship. It is what Bobby was talking about, community groups or small groups. And we want to emphasize that again as a church. That is the emphasis I believe God wants us to focus on. That's to some extent what community and mission is all about. And it's what I think we as a leadership have been feeling God is wanting us to reemphasize, to express our value of community and mission. You might say, wait a minute, Barry, you've talked about small groups for a long time, and why is it that we're not seeing this great effect that you talk about? Well, on one hand, I think we may need to continually, I think, evaluate the effectiveness of our small groups. If there's things that we can do to make our small groups better, then we should do them. But I also feel that that is not primarily the problem. I think if you listen to Bobby, and if you listen to Young at Heart, is really another small group, the youth group and what's happening there, I know that what's happening at Gloria's small group is really bringing life to everybody there. I don't think it's how we're doing them that is necessarily the problem. I think that in one sense, I wonder if all of us in the church are really giving small groups a chance. And what I mean by that is really committing to them long enough that we begin to see the effect that they have on our life in Christ. See, because we live in this fast-paced, independent culture. We work hard, most of us that are, you know, not retired. I was talking to the 55-plus group there, just in case you. If we have kids, often both parents work, and they do that to make ends meet. When we get home, we're tired, and we have our children in every sporting or musical activity that we can think of in order to keep them out of trouble, because that's really what our culture says we need to do to keep them out of trouble. And one more night just feels like completely overwhelming. That feels like something we're never going to be able to do. And that's the problem, church, is that we have, I think, to a large extent, shaped the rhythm of our lives to fit the world's cultural expectation instead of the rhythm of the kingdom of God. And And here's the problem. If we stay in the world's rhythm, we will begin to feel restless, like we're missing something. And oftentimes we'll even look around at our church and say, well, what's our church doing to make me feel alive in the spirit? But we've set our whole rhythm of life around the world's expectation, and we're not participating in what God says is his rhythm of life. God has built within all of us the need to belong. And so when God saves us, he does not save us simply as individuals out of hell and into heaven, but he saves us into something. He saves us into community. God did not create us because he was lonely. The scriptures reveal that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so in a sense, he is the perfect community, and he has existed in the Godhead from eternity. Perfect love flowing between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. God did not need us. That's not why he created us. But instead, God wanted to expand that perfect community that already existed within his own nature. Creation is, in fact, God's widening sphere of his love. Did you get that? So he is widening the sphere of the love that already exists between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And he widens it and expands it to you and I. And he wants to include all of mankind in this widening experience of his love, which is what mission really is all about. Mission is, in fact, God's call for us to work with him in continuing to broaden that ever-increasing community of love. The kingdom of God is irrevocably connected to the idea of community and mission. You cannot separate it. You could say amen there, too. When Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them, he was not saying that if you're alone, you can't experience me. What he was saying is this, though. He was saying, look, church, if you want to know my will, if you want to experience my presence, then remember that it is found most profoundly in community, in two or more. He is coming against the whole idea of lone wolf Christianity, that it's me and God and I can do it on my own. And he's saying, no, that's not how I designed it. It's not what I want. And it's not where you're going to find life. When Jesus was thinking about how to change the world, how to bring the kingdom of God to all of creation, he did one thing. I love this. He didn't start a country. He didn't form an army. He didn't create a university or an institution or a corporation. He didn't create a foundation. What he did was he started a small group. Think about it. Mark 3:13-15. Read it with me. It says this, Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. He found 12 imperfect people, and he gathered them together, and the plan was this. It was a simple plan to be with him. And in that state, he would teach them, he would mentor them, and then he would send them out. Community and mission. Did you get that? See how genius that was of him? See how simple it is? Community and mission. He would send them out. And we've got to ask ourselves, of all the things he could have done, why did he do that? Because Jesus created us to be together, to need each other. It is through community that lives are changed. So from the very beginning, the Jesus movement was a small group movement. And the main curriculum was that they would be with him, they would be together with Jesus. And ultimately, that is the desire and should be the desire of all of our small groups. Jesus promised us something before he left. What did he say? What's that? Well, that was Genesis. I'm talking about when Jesus left and ascended, he promised that he would... Yeah. Well, I will not leave you alone, but he also said this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The promise is that Jesus is with us. And so the purpose of gathering together in small community or small groups is that Jesus would be with us together as we gather, and that in that sense we would learn together from him, we would experience him together, we would read his word and find out who he is together, we would learn this. And not only that, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, which we talked about throughout our value series, we would be sent out. We would go. And that's the mission. That is, in fact, Jesus' plan for the world. That's his original small group plan. If you go back and you look in the book of Acts, for instance, you see that what developed were these little house communities, clusters of believers who met together in homes. In Acts, it talks about the house of a man named Jason. The house of a man named Titus, Justus. It talks about Philip's house. It talks about the believers at Lydia's house. It talks about the believers at the house of a Philippian jailer. It talks about the believers at the house of Mary, the mother of John, and so on. That's where people met, in small groups, in homes. When the New Testament letter writers sent greetings to believers, they greeted them at places like the house of Priscilla and Aquila, or believers at the house of Aristobulus, believers at the house, this is true, believers at the house of Narcissus, which is found in Romans 16:11, which was a small group of recovering egomaniacs. Probably wasn't, but that was his real name, just so you know. In the New Testament, home groups were not, and this is important, church, they were not an optional midweek meeting if you felt like it. Home groups were the church. That was it. They didn't have buildings of any kind for at least 300 years, and the important thing for them was not buildings and all that, but it was to be together. The Holy Spirit did not say at some time in church history, okay, now we're going to switch everything around and we're going to start another way of thinking about church, so that when you talk about church, what you think of is one big building that you go to once a week for service and where everything else is optional and where we pay some people to do all the things that we don't feel like doing. Where no one will ever get to really know you, and you'll never really discover your part in the kingdom so that you can really serve and grow and be part of the mission that is the expansion of the love of God to the world. Jesus' plan has not changed. His disciple model is very, very simple. Meet in small groups of 10 or 12, and then learn together, pray together, serve together. That was his plan then, and it's his plan today. And that's our plan. And yes, there's things we can do to make it work better, maybe. There's ways we can make it more effective. But the critical thing, church, is that we be together with him. Amen. And so, I want us to again reemphasize the importance. And there are a number of groups happening, but I still think there's room for more. And it's about invitation, this invitation. We need to grow that group. We need to invite people to come. And they can be people in the church, and they can be people outside of the church. And we can have small groups that have, like, unsaved people in them. Praise the Lord that would happen, along with some saved people that the unsaved people are looking nervously at all the time. Things like that. That's the great dynamic of what can happen in the kingdom if we just embrace Jesus' model. Which leads me to a couple of things that are happening in the church. Oh, good, that's all right. That are happening right now to help us meet this goal. One of the things, if I can look at the next slide. Okay, great. One of the things that we're doing, and it's been a bit of a process trying to figure out whether we want to do this or not, but this is called Right Now Ministries. It is, we have a free trial for 3 months, free of charge. They've given it to us. And it is small group material. It is 3,500 discipleship videos for kids, youth, and adults on this. And you can run like thousands of different home group teaching times with some of the best teachers in all of the church, people like Ravi Zachariah, Andy Stanley, and Matt Chandler, and all kinds of other people. And they're some of the best programs. I watch it because I've had it for a while now, and they're amazing. There's amazing material in there. This is all just resourcing. And so as a church, for 3 months, everybody that's part of our church gets it. All you have to do is give me your email address and we will launch it, and you click on it and you get access to this on your computer free of charge. So after the service, come and give me your email address, the current one, because I know some of you change them week by week. Feels that way anyway. But I'm just saying, come and check it out, because in May, we have to decide whether we want it, but they're giving it to us at this massively reduced price. And they said to us, if you take it at this price, which is basically $30 American per month as a church, then we get to keep it at that level for as long as our church exists, no matter how big we get, and everybody in our church continues to be allowed to use it. Now, what that does is anybody that wants to start a home group can take this, the prep time, everything. You can just go online to this ministry and start running fantastic home groups. My wife is staring into space because she hates video home groups. But it doesn't have to be something that takes your whole time away. There's some fantastic material. So we want to let you know that we are doing this, and you are welcome to actually participate and get this program. The other thing that we're going to look at is next slide, is that in August, we are looking at doing a mission trip to Casa de Luz, which is a mission children's ministry center in Mexico that is sort of run by the Abbotsford Vineyard, and they do a fantastic job. And they love to take teams down there and get them doing things that get them out of their comfort zone and get them ministering in a different setting, in a third world setting. And this home is fantastic, all that they do. They actually are allowing single moms. It allows them to go to work. They're retraining single moms. A lot of the kids were put into orphanages because the moms couldn't afford to keep them. What Casa de Luz does is it takes the children in as a daycare mission, allowing the moms to go to work and allowing them to keep their own kids, which is a powerful thing. And then they build homes for these moms in which they can get a small mortgage that they can afford so they can have a home. And there's a church connected to this. And it's all just, there's amazing things happening. And so we want a team of us to go down there the last week in August. The dates I will finalize, but I need some input from all of you. What is the best dates for people? But if you're interested in doing that, please, please email me or come and talk to Nancy and I. We need to get a list of people, or Bobby, of people that want to go and be part of this opportunity. So there's even more things. There's the dinner coming up that we're doing. There is the possibility. We've done VBSs for years. We've done, well, two of them that were phenomenally successful. We still get calls from parents. This year, we haven't done one for how many years now? We haven't done one for 2 years. And this one family phones us before they booked their summer vacation. And they phoned us again this year and said, are you doing another VBS? Because my kids don't want to go on vacation if you and miss your VBS. And we haven't done one. Why haven't we done one? Because we need somebody that is going to actually take it on and be the head person for that, because it's a ton of work. But when we do it and do it well, it's had a huge impact in our community. And so there's still time as a church if somebody wants to take that on and help organize that as well. There is a, we always get the group VBS. And this year it's Cave Quest, it's called. So let us know if you want to be a part of that. Let us know if you, and for goodness sake, get involved in a small group. If there's not one on a day that works for you, then start one. Amen. Let's all stand up. I know we got communion. Let's all stand up. We're going to pray for a minute, and then we're going to have communion. First off, Lord, I just want to thank you for this last year. And I know this isn't our New Year's service. This is our annual general meeting, in a sense, our mid-year report, maybe. But Father, I thank you for all that you're doing in this body. I thank you for what you are releasing and the amount of work that is being done all through this body by different people. I do pray, Lord, that you would just help us to, in one sense, really disciple our people, to, in one sense, close that back door a little more and widen the front door of this church so that we can make known the unsurpassable love of Jesus Christ to the world around us. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in the coming years, and we ask that we would see clearly and know what the Spirit of God is doing and join hands with you in reaching Campbell River and our surrounding area with the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. If maybe I could get, could Norm and Jane come up, and also Nancy and...